Would you just remain standing as we pray? Father, we do thank you for the fact that you are worthy of being our all in all. Totally consumed by you, totally involved and engaged with you, and you never let us down one single time. Father, I pray that we would be sweet to trust in Jesus, and there are those who are standing up here this morning who can remember 50, 60, 70 years ago of trusting in you and how they have proved or tested you over and over, and you have been there every single time. And there are those standing here who are singing those words and thinking, well, I've never really tested him. I've never really proved him. I'm not even really sure I can trust him. And yet, Father, you are a God that can meet every single one of those needs. And as we think about trusting Jesus, I'm reminded to just want to lift up Lori Hunsberger as she's back in the hospital and after her surgery, and just pray, God, that you would heal her and that you would just give her strength and pain, free of pain. Think of Nancy Haynes's cousin's grandson, who's just severely, severely ill. Lord, we ask your blessing and healing on him. A young man named Tyler Gemberling, who's an acquaintance with Tracy Solomon. Lord, we just ask you to, again, to work your miracles in his life. And through all of it, through all of the suffering, Father, thank you for being a God that we can trust. And then one that we can follow. Where you go, we can go. What you say, we can say. What you do, we can do. We can follow you. Thank you for being that kind of a God. Please take us today where we are to where you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, a couple of things I want to do before we have the kids go back to junior worship. So if you are going to the Dominican Republic on Tuesday morning, would you come on up here? So come on up here. There are 14 of us that are headed off to the Dominican early Tuesday morning. So I just thought we'd have a time of prayer for us. So if you will come on up here and gather around, we will just pray and we will go. And for those of you that, don't feel jealous or anything, I just went on the internet last night and the high temperatures in the Dominican while we're there are only going to be in the low 30s. Of course, that's Celsius, but it's more like in the low 80s, but this group is going. This is, how many of us are here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So we have four others that'll be probably in the second service. We're headed off to do some construction work in a couple of local churches, and then also to be ambassadors, to visit with some other places and play games and do things and meet people and minister to other churches. So we're excited about going. Would you just sort of join me in prayer as we get ready to go? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to go. Thank you for this church, which has contributed the lion's share of the money and resources that are needed to do the work down there, and in many cases even for our transportation and in many cases even for our expenses. So we thank you for these folks, and we ask for you to remind them to pray for us on a regular basis. And also that we ask that you continue to go forward ahead of us to whether we're on plan A, B, C, D, E, G, K, whatever plan we're on for what we're going to do down there, that all of that is on your sovereign hand. And we know that we can follow you and go where you want us to go. So again, we pray for everyone who stays back here that you're minister to them as well. Thank you for this opportunity to go to the Dominican. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you all very much. Now, kids, we have a children's sermon today. So we're going to try to start doing this once a month. And so we haven't done it yet in January. So if you guys want to join me right over here, kind of in this area, I got something I want to talk to you about. Got to get my book, but you just sit right over here. How many of you guys like a story? Yeah, pretty much like stories, right? Stories are kind of neat. All right. Well, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, and one of the things they tell you in children's ministry is that kids typically don't get, like metaphors and allegories and idioms and things like that, and I know most of you don't even know what those words mean. But I want you to think about your life as a story, All right, so if you read a story about somebody, you usually start in the beginning, and there's some information about that person, and then they talk about when they're a child, and then when they get a little older, or the story starts out with something going on in the beginning, and then you have a middle of the story, and then you have an ending of the story, right? That's typically how stories work. So if you pick up a book and you read the book, you go through all of that kind of thing. And I want you to think about something. You are actually writing a story. Have you thought about that? You are writing a story. Emma is writing a story, all right? And Emma is a little farther along in her story than Claire would be, all right? Her story is a little longer than Cora's story would be, or than Atticus's story would be, all right? But she's writing a story. You're all writing a story. And I just found this book here around the church. This is a story about a lamb. I'm not going to read the story to you, but it starts out with the lamb, of course, and the shepherd, and then the lamb gets lost. Right, so then they have to try to find the, the lamb, yes. Just in case I didn't know that. But as we go through this particular storybook, you've probably never seen a book quite like this before, but you get to near the end of the story, and look what happens. The pages are all blank. The end of the story hasn't yet been written, all right? The end of the story hasn't yet been written, okay? And you know what? This is a little bit like your life, because your end of your story hasn't been written yet. There are a lot of chapters left to go in your story. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, the best way to write your story is to follow Jesus. Yeah, because you never quite know how your story's going to turn out. You see all of the older people out here today? Pretty much all of us have a different story now than we thought we would have when we got old enough to start thinking about writing a story. You know, some of us may have wanted to be astronauts or professional football players, or I wanted to be a basketball player, you know? But the story turned out differently. But you know what? God knows your story. He knows your story. And you don't start writing the story when you get to be 18 years old. You start writing the story now. And so as God is writing your story and you're working with God to write your story, follow Jesus. Those of you that are old enough, start reading the Bible. Have discussions about what God is doing in your life. If you're not old enough to read the Bible, ask someone to read it to you. If they say no, see me. All right? I'll talk to them. I want you to write the story that God wants, and it's going to be a great, great story. Okay? Pray with me, would you? Father, I thank you for all of the stories that are represented here at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren, and all of these young stories where just the first few chapters have been written. Thank you, God, that you are a God that these young boys and girls can trust and can follow. Thank you that you care about them as much as you do. And I pray they continue to write their story with you as the author. Help them to look to you and to look to your words for guidance and direction, and to look to those adults that you've placed in their lives to help them to write their story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty. If you're going to head back to junior worship, you can head back there now. Thank you so much for coming up today. We are wrapping up our series today on Real Church, and you may have noticed there are no sermon notes this week, so I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to sit down, and we're just going to kind of review a little bit, talk a little bit about this idea of a story. So I thought I'd give you a break from having to fill in the blanks this morning, and so something just a little bit different than what we normally do. If you can put my notes up there, though, I'm going to need, though. There we go. Okay. We started this series in the book of Acts. If you're here for the very first time, you have landed at the very last message of a essentially 21 or 22 week period of time, or 20 week period of time that we've been talking about this idea of walking through the book of Acts. And as I was thinking about when do we start, and we actually started on the Sunday of the night when Tony Romo led the Dallas Cowboys to a miraculous comeback over the New York Giants to begin the season 1-0. And what I thought would certainly be the beginning chapter of a storybook story that would end up with the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl in the 50th anniversary of the NFL. But you know, sometimes stories don't turn out the way that we think they are going to turn out, or they turn out differently than how we think they have started. And so we've kind of walked through the early church during these first 30 years of the church's existence. And I want to today kind of think about how that relates to Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. But let me sort of wrap up the book of Acts. So the book of Acts then, we left Paul in the third missionary journey coming back home to Jerusalem. And then he in Jerusalem is arrested. Not for anything wrong that he did, but he's just arrested. And so he ends up appealing to Caesar. So he needs to go to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. And then he gets on a boat, and it's a shipwreck situation. The weather is really, really bad. And we read this in Acts 27, verse 15. The weather started getting rough. The sailing ship was tossed. If not for the power of the fearless God, the ship would have been lost. The ship would have been lost. And we realize that's really sort of from Gilligan's Island. That's not really from the Bible. You say, can you do that? Can you pretend that the Bible is... Well, it's really not Acts 27:15. I just made that up. But they actually did get on a ship, and the ship was actually tossed, and there was a shipwreck, and they were shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And eventually, Paul ends up in Rome, and he ends up in house arrest, and the book of Acts ends right here, Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. This is really the Bible. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. And then it ends, and that's it. So he essentially finds himself under house arrest. And this first imprisonment, we think that Paul had 2 imprisonments, but his first imprisonment in Rome is sort of a house arrest kind of situation. So he has freedom to talk to people, and as we read a couple of the other letters that he wrote, we have this idea that he was chained to a guard and sort of had a quote-unquote captive audience, and he was able to share Christ and to be a witness for Jesus, just as Jesus had told them to be when Jesus ascended into heaven. But then that's it. And if you're like me, when I get to the book of Acts, I want more of the story. I'd like to know more of what happened. And I don't really know why God inspired Luke to stop here, why God said, okay, this is enough. We don't need any more discussion of the history of the early church, because it's really pretty much all we have. I mean, the history part of the Bible kind of ends here. We get a little bit more through some of the letters that Paul writes, but essentially this is sort of the end of the narrative that we have. And then I wonder, maybe God ends things this way to let us know that the rest of the story has still not been written. Maybe God doesn't give us a whole lot of details about exactly how they worshiped and exactly if they sat in chairs or sat on the floor or whatever they did, so that we would not say, well, in order to be a true church, you have to do exactly the same things that they did. And we've tried not to do that during this series. We've tried to say, look, the way we worship in 2016 is a lot different than the way they would have worshiped in AD 35, but the principles are the same. And maybe God doesn't give us a whole lot of details because he wants each local church, as they go through their years, and Buffalo Valley's been in existence on this site for over 150 years, to write their own story. And a local church writes its or her own story as the people in the church write their own stories. So what I want to do now is just sort of do a little bit of review. Go back and think about what we saw and how it then fits with here, both in the past and then in the future. So the first 4 weeks served as our foundation. And we began with, and I wonder if anybody can complete this sentence, the real purpose of the church is to be a, anybody, just shout it out if you can think you remember. Amen. That guy could be a pastor someday. What do you know? if you're not here, that is the other pastor, Eric, in the congregation. The real purpose of the church is to be a witness for Jesus Christ, right? That was how we started this whole thing off. And we looked at Acts 1:8, just prior to Jesus ascending up into heaven. And Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the clarion message of the church. This is the call of the church, the purpose of the church. Whatever else we do, it has to come back. It has to distill down to the idea of being a witness for Christ. And whatever story you write needs to distill down to being a witness for Jesus if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. We then talked about the real purpose of the church. Well, that was the real purpose. We then talked about the real power of the church. The power of the church was the Holy Spirit. We saw that in Acts chapter 2 as the Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. We talked about the real message or the right message of the church, that the message was the gospel. No matter what they were talking about or if they were dealing with sickness or needs or whatever, it all boiled down to and came back to the gospel. The message was the gospel. People needed to trust in Christ and believe in Christ. And we looked at this idea of real community. That church was meant to be done in community. Following Christ was meant to be done in community. The word church means a group of people, a gathered ones, called out ones. And that if we want to get this right, we have to understand that this needs to be done in community. There is no such thing as this kind of Christian, right? There's no Lone Ranger Christian just riding out there by himself or herself. No, we need to engage in community. And I started thinking about, like, how do we do that here? Like, if you're new here, if you haven't been here for a while, I just want to share with you, like, what do we do to kind of foster that kind of community within the group here, within our family at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren? Well, Sunday, we have, of course, Sunday school for children and teens and adults. Then in the evening, we have youth group. One of our life groups meets on Sundays. We usually have a counterculture Bible study right now going on, or we have some other sort of Sunday evening worship in the Word, something like that, that makes available to meet for community. Monday, we have exercise class. There's a life group that meets on Monday. There's a men's Bible study that meets, I think, about every other Monday night. There's volleyball here. I know that's open to everyone, but Tuesday, there's a men's Bible study in the morning at 6 o'clock. There's a moms in prayer group on Tuesday morning here that starts at 9. Then there's a small group Bible study Tuesday night. Then we go to Wednesday. We have early morning basketball here, a breakfast Bible study, family connections meal at night. There's a small group Bible study that meets after that on Wednesday night. Then we go to Thursday throughout the year. Not every Thursday, but many Thursdays, there's bell choir practice. There's another exercise class. There's also a small group Bible study that meets on Thursday. Friday morning's basketball again. Friday night throughout most of the year is Friday fun for children. Small group Bible study also meets on Friday night. Then Saturday, we have usually kind of an every other week men's breakfast. And Saturday is when the building is used for all kinds of other activities. There are a lot of ways that you can build community into the context of where you're headed here at Buffalo Valley. And I strongly want to encourage you to build community, to get involved, to get engaged with other people here in all of these different ways and all of these different opportunities. And here's why this is important. You see, you might be part of the story that God wants to write, and without you, we're missing some important chapters, right? Without you, without your engagement in the community, we're missing, that the church is missing some chapters or some segments, maybe some paragraphs that God wants to write into our story that he can't write because you're not here and you're not engaged. And maybe, just maybe, you're missing some parts of your own story that God wants to write because he wants someone who's sitting on this side of the room to be actually a part of your story on this side of the room, or he wants you to be part of my story, or vice versa, and all of those kinds of things. So we looked at the purpose and the message and the power and this idea of the sense of community that the early church had. And we read that in Acts chapter 2, right? We read that they spent time together in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And then there's something else the Bible says about these early Christians, this first church, is that they had favor with all the other people. And I think what Luke is trying to get at when he writes that for us is that they were folks who weren't just interested in themselves, but they were interested in others. And if you remember way back early on, back when the Cowboys were still alive, I mentioned that there was a letter that I read to you from the second century, where it was one of the rulers that was chastising one of the priests of the false religion. I can't remember now if it must have been a Roman or Greek religion. And he wrote a letter to their priest and he said, "Hey, you guys need to get on the stick." Not that word, but I'm using that as vernacular. Because those Christians, those who claim to follow Jesus, they're taking care of our people and our sick people better than you're taking care of our sick people. So these people who don't claim to follow the gods that we do, they're taking care of us. They're taking care of our babies. They're taking care of our widows. They're taking care of our sick people. You're not doing that. And they don't even, we don't even belong to their group. And they're doing that. Because there was this idea that the church, in order to be the church that Christ wanted, would look not just within the walls of the community where they were in, but would go outside of that and be a light and a ministering force in the community in which they lived. Does that happen here? Are we doing that? So the church in Acts had a role in providing for the community. I just listed a few things that I could think of. Easter egg fair, we invite the whole community to come and participate in that. Our fall hayride, the men's kettle cook, which raises money to the soup is available for anybody, and then the men raise raises money to pay medical bills for people in our community. Gingerbread night, where there are hundreds of people here, most of which are not even in this church community in terms of Sunday morning or Bible study kind of activity. We host a blood drive. We have theme nights throughout the year. We have the church auction, which is coming up, where we invite the community to come into that. And we have all kinds of people here who are involved in community services. We have firefighters. We have the chief here in our congregation. We have all kinds of people who volunteer their time in all kinds of ways to benefit the community. Many of them do that volunteer, but then we also have nurses and physician's assistants and teachers and preschool folks who receive a salary, but they're still doing things to benefit the community, because that's what Christ calls us to do, to get into the community and to benefit that. We're involved with some other churches in the backpack program that feeds about 65 kids in the elementary and intermediate school. That we just did that for the month of January. I mentioned the medical fund, which we do up there with Kettle Cook and other things that we do. We're involved right now with a baby bottle drive for Expectations Women's Center in Lewisburg, which helps women who find themselves in difficult pregnancy situations and provides parenting help and helps out the men in that situation as well. We've given money to and are involved in the Children's Aid Society, which is a group down in York, that area, that ministers to at-risk children. We're starting Stephen Ministry training here, which is going to help us to minister not only to people within the congregation. Then there's Next Door Neighborhood Outreach, neighborhood ministry that's just kind of getting off the ground that you're going to hear a lot more about. But there's all of these ways in which we are trying to be a light in our community, just like the early church did. Now, then we began to see that the early church was not a perfect group of people. Right? In Acts chapter 5, we have Ananias and Sapphira that are struck dead. Now, as far as I know, at least in the last 3.5 years or so, no one here at Buffalo Valley has fallen down dead during the worship service. Fallen asleep, maybe, but not fallen down dead. So we haven't had to worry about that. But then when we saw in Acts chapter 6, there was conflict, you know, amongst the Greek widows and the Jewish widows, and the distribution of food wasn't right. And we talked about how, you know, there's no perfect church. You know, are we a perfect church here at Buffalo Valley? No, because we still have Steeler fans here, you know, and so we're not a perfect church in any way, shape, or form, and maybe someday we can arrive at the part where no one will be a Steeler fan. But here's something that I want us to think about, because so inevitably we have conflict. Right? It's great to have the power of the clicker. I'm sorry, but it's great. We have conflict here. We have people who struggle getting along, sometimes within family context, or sometimes just because we step on each other's toes. But we try to resolve that. And if you're in conflict with people here, we want you to resolve that. We want you to engage people. If you can't resolve it yourself, the two of you, then engage other people in solving it, because conflict is best resolved in community. It's how we best resolve it. Especially when we get stubborn and we can't figure out how to resolve between two people, then we bring some other people in to help resolve that conflict. So we're not a perfect church. And then, as we continued on in the book of Acts, we saw that the gospel went outside of Jerusalem to the world. Right? It began with Philip taking the gospel to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, and then we see Peter taking the gospel to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and then we come up against this guy Paul, who we spent most of our time on in the last several weeks. And Paul goes to the known world, essentially, around the Mediterranean, and shares the gospel with, with people. And we have all kinds of opportunities and ways to do that. And sometimes you think, you know, if I go on a mission trip or I go on some sort of trip somewhere, I'm going to be just, you know, it's going to be boring. It's not going to be any fun. I'm not going to have a good time. And I just want to share with you an experience that we had when we were in New Jersey. We were at a trip, several of us, and we were playing Bible trivia. And there was a particular person that we were playing Bible trivia with, and I won't mention his particular name when we were playing. But this particular person was really far behind, you know, most of the other people in the game. Hi, Kurt. And again, I don't want to tell you who it was, but we started laughing about some of these situations. I just want to show you a brief, like 30-second clip of what can happen on a mission trip when things get a little bit out of control. Oh, you gotta have volume.
I don't even know who my mic is.
You're gonna be the
Don't film me now.
You're gonna need this someday.
I can see some blackmail from here.
Funny. I don't even remember what we're laughing about anymore. He's crying.
You've probably had, I still remember that. My insides were spasming. That's why I had to lay down, because I thought I was in pain because we were laughing. And I don't know if you heard it from the very beginning, but it was Kurt just kept getting, it really wasn't Kurt's fault. He just kept getting these difficult questions. And he got a question that said, who's the famous son of Lamech? And I'm not guessing, maybe, I don't know if anybody here knows the answer to who's the famous son of Lamech, but you can hear Kurt saying, I don't even know who Lamech is, you know, and we were just laughing. It's actually Noah is the answer to the question. Noah is the most famous son of Lamech. I had to look it up, Kurt. But we have opportunities. There's also Eli was on there, Jake was on there, and then Tom Stiers was the one suggesting that Eli use it for blackmail at the end of that clip. So we've taken that out of the equation at this point. We see the church going to the world, all right, and we want to see that happen here, and it is happening here, and it has happened here. And the next slide just says that, you know, Buffalo Valley has gone on numerous disaster relief trips over the years. Just the places that I know of are places like Tennessee and Louisiana and Minnesota and New Jersey, and I'm sure there's other times, and there's been multiple times in some of those different places where people in the congregation have gone. For many years, there was a trip of a group of people here that went to Arizona every year to minister on a Native American reservation, to do practical things as well, construction things, as well as minister the gospel through like a vacation Bible school. Right now, we have a relationship going with Western Port, Maryland, where we go down for a week in the summer and then two times throughout the year to minister to a church there. Way back in 1999, a group of folks left from here to the Dominican Republic to help construct a church building. We went last year to do that. Now we're going again this year, and we're looking to continue this on a regular basis. Eli is in the South Sudan today to see what kind of opportunities Church of the Brethren has to minister to people in that part of the world. We have a lot of people who have gone on short-term and medium-term mission trips, right? We have the Deal family who's heading off to South Africa I'm not sure exactly how many times they've been, but they're getting ready to head off there. We've had Missy Hunsberger, who's been in Montana many times. I'm going to forget people, but I know we have Matt and Nikki Walter, who've spent 2 years in Hong Kong. There's all kinds. We have Becky Keister, who's teaching in Singapore. Really excited about it. It's like a missionary endeavor as she's teaching. We have all kinds of people who have engaged in short-term and medium-term mission trips to understand that we need to share the gospel with the world. And you're going to start hearing about some quarterly mission projects that we have, ways in which we can start making a difference in a village. We can't provide sanitation for the whole world, but maybe we can provide sanitation for a village. We can't cure the whole world of cholera, but maybe we can try to make sure that one or two villages have adequate medicine with resources that we have. And we want you to be open to what God might be doing as he's calling you to go and participate in these kinds of things. Because the real church, in the book of Acts, we understand that they saw that life was way outside of their own little world. Some of you might be thinking, what is this, an advertisement? Yeah, well, in some ways it is. It's a bit of review for maybe folks who have been here for a long time to kind of I think, just sort of celebrate what God has done here. And then maybe to say that we are, I think, even in a greater position today to go out and do everything that God has called us to do. But it's not so much an advertisement for Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren as it is an advertisement for God. Right? God has done all these things. God is not only doing it here, he's doing it all around the world. He's doing it in all places through all kinds of people who follow his son, Jesus Christ. And so as I wrap this up, you know, I'm asking you two things. Would you continue to be part of the story? You know, would you just continue to say, you know what, God, I'm available to you. I'm gonna connect with individuals in community, and I'm available for you to use me in whatever way you want to continue to write the story that you're writing at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. You know, we don't know how many chapters we have left to write until Jesus returns. Right? We don't know. Could be a long time. Could be a short period of time. But we need to get busy writing with, of course, God's help. And now maybe if you're new here for the first time or just kind of sticking your toes in, you know, would you consider becoming part of the story? Would you consider engaging with us? Would you consider deciding, yep, I want to wrap myself up in the fabric and the community of this place and of this people? And then if you want to talk to somebody about that, and the connection card is this thing that says, I want to talk to somebody about becoming part of the story here at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. Tear that off, drop it in the offering plate as it gets passed in a little while, and we'll sit down with you and we want to connect with you. So that's kind of where we've been the last 20 weeks. Thank you for coming along in the journey. Thank you for being a part of the story. Continue it. I personally think the greatest chapters still have yet to be written here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your story. I thank you for the true story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, through whom we have an opportunity to have forgiveness of sin, through whom we have an opportunity to engage you in a way where we become your children instead of children of your wrath. And Father, through all of the kind of things we've talked about and laughed a little bit, I pray that we're reminded that we have an important story to write. This is a story that impacts the world. This is a story that impacts a world of an individual, which means the world to that person, but it's also a story that really does impact the world. And we have an opportunity to do that. But that story gets written at Buffalo Valley as individual stories get written. The folks who are here and those who will be here next service and those who couldn't be with us today. So I pray, God, that we keep our book open. We keep the pen in our hand. And under your guidance, we let you write our story. For those who are here this morning who just simply, they don't even understand what we're talking about. Or perhaps the way that you have written their story, Father, is not anywhere near the way they would have written it. I pray that they would see that it is still sweet to trust in you. And they are not alone in having that chapter written in their life. And that you can use that chapter for the richness and fullness and beauty of the entire story. And that those people today would trust in you. And those who have been just scribbling along, maybe not paying much attention to what you had to say, I pray today, maybe, they begin to think, you know what, I need another author for my story. Thank you, God, for writing our story. In Jesus' name we pray.